Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. This is God's Word. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the imperial regiment. We boarded a ship from Adamitrian, about to sail for ports along the coasts of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day, we landed at Sidon. And Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there, we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There, the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmon. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens near the town of Lycia. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous, because by now it was after the fast. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they thought they had obtained what they wanted. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Cyprus, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. "For the last 14 days," he said, "you've been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It doesn't always go well. We think sometimes that, you know, if we're doing God's will, it should all just work out smoothly, smooth sailing. No, that's not what the Bible says. Joseph in Egypt didn't like being in Egypt. Had been sold as a slave. Injustice. I got to get out of here. I got to get home. Instead, seeking to serve the Lord and do what was right in the situation where he found himself, he did the right thing and was falsely accused of trying to rape his boss's wife and was thrown into prison. How is that fair? Well, it's not about fair. It's just what happened. But because he was in prison, he was in the right place at the right time to become the prime minister of Egypt and was used by God not only to save his life when famine came, but to save the lives of many Egyptians and of his family back home. But between the time that God allowed him to be thrown into that pit by his brothers and the time that he was brought forth to be the prime minister of Egypt, there was a lot of suffering and undoubtedly a lot of questioning. God, why is this happening? If God is in charge, why does this happen? Moses, called by God to go and confront Pharaoh, goes, does what God told him, says what God told him, and Pharaoh makes things tougher for the Egyptians, saying, now they're going to have to gather their own straw, but they still have to make just as many bricks as before. It got worse, not better. Over and over we see in Scripture that oftentimes obedience does not bring what we want it to in the short term. Instead, things get tougher. Paul didn't want to get on that boat and make an attempt to go to the next port, but he wasn't in charge. He was a prisoner. How'd you like to supervise Paul? Can you imagine if he's brought in as a new recruit? I'd like you to meet this young man. I think he's got tremendous potential. His name is Paul. You know, Paul has one of those personalities where he doesn't take supervision real well. He's supervising everybody else all around him all the time. And Paul is telling them what to do. To me, this is just hilarious. Look at verse 11. The centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Well, that seems reasonable, doesn't it? You know, here's this Jewish scholar, and then here's a guy who owns a boat and his pilot, who's a professional nautical expert. Who are you going to listen to if you're the centurion? And then later, Paul says, you should have taken my advice. No. But he was right. Today's message is about hope in the storm. Where do you find hope in the middle of the storm? Look at how difficult their circumstances were. Beginning in verse 4, from there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. I don't know how much time you've spent in boats, but when the wind is against you, it's not a lot of fun. Verse 7, we made slow headway for many days and had difficulty. Later in that same verse, verse 7, the wind did not allow us to hold our course. Verse 8, we moved along the coast with difficulty. Verse 9, much time had been lost. Sailing had already become dangerous. This is not going well. And it's at that point that Paul says, hey guys, let's just winter here. And they say, well, this is not a good place to winter. Well, it wasn't a good place to winter, but it sure beat the open sea, which is where they were going to end up, because the boat wouldn't even make it to land, much less into a safe haven, a safe port. They didn't listen. They had a hope that was based on desire. Look at verse 12. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. That was not based on evidence particularly. That was based on desire. A lot of people have a hope that is based on desire. I want to do this, therefore I hope it'll happen. That's not the way life works. I love what one preacher said years ago. He asked his neighbor, are you a Christian? And the man said, well, I try to be. And he said, well, have you ever tried being an elephant? You know, I mean, wanting something to be doesn't make it so. We need to deal with reality. What is, not just what we desire. But a lot of people are living their life based on a hope that is simply grounded in their own desires. And if that's where your hope is coming from, let me tell you, it's a vapor. It's not going to hold up. It doesn't empower you when the storm comes. And the storms come. They always come. There will always be difficulty. There will always be hardship. There will always be a storm. Jesus talked about those who built on the rock versus those who built on the sand. Both had to go through the storm. It's inevitable. And the question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared for the storm? Because the storm will come.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
But there are also folks whose hope is not just based on desire, it's based on their reading of the circumstances. That's the way we operate a lot. Let me tell you how that ends up in the storm. Look at verse 20. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. You know, they hung in there for a while, but after a while, the circumstances told them this situation is hopeless. They gave up all hope of being saved. Luke says, we gave up all hope of being saved. He's talking about himself and apparently talking about Paul too. Paul had resigned himself to, well, I guess this is the way it ends. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that situation where you think, well, I guess this is it? If your hope is based on circumstances, the storm will demolish your hope. You might hang on for a while, but sooner or later the circumstances are greater than your hope. And you want to just give up. The doctor said there's nothing they can do. I thought it was just a market correction. All the entertainers and all the athletes and all the business tycoons who achieve their dream and find out it's empty. It's empty. Folks, storms come in all shapes and sizes. But if your hope is just based on your desires, you're going to lose hope. If your hope is just based on circumstances, circumstances will end up crushing your hope. And even for Luke and for Paul, they came to the point where they finally gave up hope of being saved. But there is a third hope in this passage. The third hope is a hope that is grounded in God's promise. A hope that is in God's Word. Look at verses 22 through 26. Paul says, now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed. Last night an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me. The word angel there is messenger, because that's what angels are for. And said, do not be afraid, Paul. Now, why would he tell him not to be afraid? Because Paul was afraid. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Where was his hope? His hope was in God's word. And then the postscript, verse 26. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Okay. So the boat's going to be destroyed, but we're all going to be saved. That's good news. They all thought they were going to die until Paul came with a word from God. The storm was still pounding the ship. The wind was still blowing them about. Their circumstances had not changed, but now they had the Word of God, which is our anchor. It's what we're to build on. The rock is those who receive God's Word and obey it. That's what Jesus said. So, they had a hope that was based on God's Word. And because of that, Paul was able to rejoice and be confident because he knew what was coming and the circumstances couldn't take that away. Well, let me ask you this. Does it always turn out to be easy when you're doing what God says? No. Does it always turn out exactly the way God says? Yes. Even for people who don't believe it. Even for people who say, this guy's crazy. He was right about not taking the ship, but you know, everybody's right sometimes. But I don't believe in this guy's God. I don't believe in him. It still turns out the way God says. Exactly the way God says. The ship was destroyed, the cargo was lost, not a person died. Now, please note that the threats didn't stop for Paul at that point. After he had received the Word of God, after he had believed the Word of God and proclaimed the Word of God and acted on the Word of God by breaking bread, giving thanks to God and breaking bread and eating, there were people who wanted to kill him. They want to kill him. And Paul thwarts the plot. And the centurion, God bless him, listens to the prisoners, or to the prisoner, instead of to the sailors. And God destroys the ship and saves everybody on it. And we are talking about over 250 people, almost 300 folks, not one life lost. That's amazing. Total loss of ship and cargo, but not one drowning. What are the chances? The universe is not run by chance. God is right here, right now. And because of that, we need to take seriously what he says. And it will make all the difference between having hope when the storm hits and losing hope when the storm won't quit. There were people who wanted to kill Paul, and Paul describes some of the things he went through in situations like this and including this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about being adrift for a night and a day at sea. Paul had to hold on to a board, and he eventually got to shore. We'll see next time that even when he got to shore, it didn't all go smoothly. I mean, you and I have got to realize God never promised this is going to be easy. But he did promise that he would save those who trust in him. And you know what? When the storm comes, it's really important to remember that. Because storms are coming for all of us. And those whose hope is in just what they desire are going to be crushed. And those whose hope is based on circumstances, well, I have a very diversified portfolio. Well, good luck with that. And by the way, I don't believe in luck. But those whose trust is in the Lord, our God, we will not be shaken. God has promised that he'll see us through. We may lose the ship. We may lose the cargo. We may get wet, but we're not going to drown. There's hope in the storm.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.